Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 10. We're going to read through verse 18. We have been here for weeks, but we are working our way through. And yes, I know there are other books besides Ephesians. Page 952 in your pew Bible. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. Page 952 is Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. We're going to read through verse 18, and let's read God's Word together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Thank you so much. God bless you. You can be seated. This past week, I read an article by Dr. Michael Brown, and he wrote of a second new awakening. And he was writing about what he believed, a prophetic word of what he believed lies ahead of us. And in writing that article, the first thing he did was he laid the scenario. He painted a picture of where the church is today and why we need a new awakening. And he wrote the following, and I quote, "For many years now, rather than the church changing the world has changed the church. And rather than our light penetrating the darkness has dimmed our light. We have watered down our message to make it acceptable to the world, thereby robbing it of its convicting and transforming power. We have lowered our standards so as not to offend, leaving us stuck in the miserable middle, half worldly and half Christian, worthy of mockery and derision from both the lost and the saved. The sins of the world are now the sins of the church, from porn to abortion to hate-filled social media posts. Is it any wonder that so many young people today who have been raised in the church are not following in the faith of their parents? Is it any wonder that they are questioning the veracity of the Bible and the reality of God? And when we preach a non-experiential gospel, is it any surprise when they conclude that our message is one of words only? Can we fault them for never experiencing God's power when we have not introduced them to that very real power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead?" Today, as we read in our passage, and we heard of Paul writing about taking up the shield of faith, it's interesting that this is the only piece of equipment or armor or weaponry in which Paul describes his purpose. He says that we are to take up the shield of faith because it will quench all the flaming arrows of the wicked one. And when we read that, I think there's part of us today in August of 2021 that's asked the question, why? We're tired. We're exhausted. We feel that we're overwhelmed by the problems of the world. We are exhausted by moral, political, cultural, sexual, financial, and religious battles. We are puzzled about why our children or grandchildren no longer interact with us. We struggle with unexpected health issues. We fear for our nation's future, and we wonder what will happen in our own denomination in the next 13 months. We can readily identify with the request of the disciples in Luke 17:5 when they said, "Lord, increase our faith." And so Paul talks about this shield of faith. Now remember, Paul is talking to them about Roman weaponry, about a Roman soldier, because this is what all of them saw all around them. They saw Roman soldiers and the power and might of the Roman military. And there were several types of shields that the Romans used. Most of the time we watch television, we saw, you know, we watch Ben-Hur or The Robe, or, you know, we see these Roman soldiers carrying these metal shields. And the truth of the matter is, that is not the most common shield the Romans used because it was so heavy. They used a shield that had metal strips around it, but actually did not have a metal front. They would take the skins of animals and place them, stack them across the front of that shield, and then almost like weld a metal strap around it to hold them in place. The Amplified Version reads this way of our passage of Scripture: Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. The New Living Translation: In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. The Phillips Translation: Above all, be sure you take faith as your shield, for it can quench every burning missile the enemy hurls at you. Why did Paul talk about these flaming arrows? And why does these translations and these paraphrases talk about these flaming missiles, these flaming arrows that are going to be fired at us? And the New English Translation added a little bit of commentary that makes it more understandable about what Paul was saying. And I want to read this to you. Before a battle in which flaming arrows might be shot at the Roman soldiers, they would wet the leather, cover it with water to extinguish the arrows. The Roman legionnaires could then close ranks with these shields, the first row holding theirs edge to edge in front, and the rows behind holding the shields above their heads. In this formation, they were practically invulnerable to arrows, rocks, and even spears. They would take that shield before battle, and they would take those leather skins that was the covering, and they would soak them with water so that when a flaming arrow hit it, it would extinguish the arrow rather than cause the shield to combust into flame. The arrows that were being fired at them, if any of you saw Gladiator, the beginning of Gladiator is probably the beginning of one of the best movies ever been made, when Russell Crowe is preparing to lead the Roman soldiers out to fight these German Celts. And, you know, he tells them, be brave and fight hard and all these things. And then you see these soldiers begin to fire these flaming arrows at the enemy. The purpose was not only to set the battlefield afire, the purpose was to create panic among the combatants of the battle. And so Paul is telling us that these flaming arrows that the enemy fires at us, one of the purposes of those arrows, those missiles, those attacks, is to create panic in us. So how is it possible for us to maintain the effectiveness of the shield? How do I keep my shield of faith from drying out? How do I keep my shield of faith working properly as a shield rather than combusting into flame? Can you imagine what it would have been like if you'd had 30 Roman soldiers all gathered together and they've got these shields over them, and just two of them decided, I don't have time to wet my shield down. And suddenly, one shield breaks out into flame, and another shield breaks out into a flame. And one soldier realizes, my shield's on fire. I don't have any protection. And he breaks rank, and he begins to run. And now number two begins to run. And now the whole flank is exposed. The front is exposed, or the back is exposed. And now these soldiers who are still there holding formation realize, we have been weakened. Our formation now is not as strong as it once was. And this happens in the church all the time. How do we maintain the effectiveness of the shield of faith? Well, I'm going to use one of Sherry's favorite words. We must keep our shield supple. We must keep our shield supple. And I looked up the meaning of that word, and it means keep whatever it is capable of being bent or folded without creases, without cracking, or without breaking. They had to keep that shield saturated. They had to keep that shield anointed. They had to keep water on that shield, because whenever the battle took place, that shield was not only going to protect their lives, it was going to protect the life of the man on the right-hand side of them, the left-hand side of them, the man behind them. It was going to protect the integrity of the unit. So how do I keep my faith supple? How do I keep my faith anointed? How do I prevent my faith from drying out in the midst of COVID, in the midst of political upheaval, in the midst of war, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of shortages, in the midst of fear, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of disease? How do I keep my faith anointed and viable and working? Well, the first thing I would say is this. One of the ways that God uses to stretch your shield, and when I'm talking about stretching your shield, I'm thinking of what Jesus said about wineskins. He said, you don't pour new wine into an old wineskin, because if you do, the wine will expand and the wineskin will break. So you pour new wine into new wineskins. But one of the things his audience knew was this. When Jesus was talking about old wineskins, he was not talking about old as far as age. He was talking about old as far as effectiveness. And in essence, he was saying, you can't take new wine and pour it into a dried up, non-supple, non-expanding, non-bending, non-anointed wineskin. It wasn't the age of the wineskin. It was the state of the wineskin. And so when Paul is talking about take up this shield of faith, he's not talking about, the age of it. He's saying to us, we have to keep that faith stretched. We have to keep allowing God through the Spirit, through circumstances, through situations, through things we don't like, to stretch our faith. One thing about it, you and I may go through trials, but God has told us, I'll be with you. I'll bring you through. When you walk through the waters, you're not going to drown. When you walk through the flame, you're not going to burn up, because I'm going to keep you in a place where your faith can be stretched. So how is my faith stretched? When I'm in that stretching period, when I'm in that place of things happening in my life, events, circumstances, situations unfolding in my life that make me uncomfortable, that I don't like. Sherry was, we were talking a Friday night, we were sitting in the quiet place and we were talking, and she said, who would have thought that 2 years ago our world would be like it is now? And I said, hun, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but if Jesus tarries, we may look back in 2 years and say, who would have thought that in 2 years our world would be where it is now? How do I keep my faith pliable? How do I keep my faith supple? How do I keep my faith able to be stretched, rather than just folding up and saying, I give up, I can't take this anymore, I'm throwing in the towel? How do I keep that faith stretching? Well, the first thing I would say is this. We have to learn to pause before we panic. We have to learn to pause, P-A-U-S-E, before we panic. Imagine a Roman soldier standing there, and he's got 29 other Roman soldiers around him, and they're facing the enemy, and they're preparing to go into battle, and their heart is racing, and their blood pressure up is, and their adrenaline is flowing, and there's something within them. You know, they're fighting that fight or flight syndrome. There's something within them that says, I either want to run to the battle or I want to run away from the battle. And off in the distance, they see something light up, and it just light up as far as they can see. And then they begin to hear the whoosh, whoosh, whoosh of these flaming arrows, and they see them being launched like artillery and coming toward them. And they have to think, I hope my shield is wet enough. I hope my shield is anointed enough. I hope my shield is saturated enough. I hope my shield has been soaked long enough that it will extinguish these flaming arrows that are coming for me. And there was something within every one of them that I'm sure they wanted to throw the shield down and run, but they realized that safety was staying under the anointing of the shield. That as long as the shield was anointed, they were safe. But if one member of the group panicked rather than pausing, it was going to possibly destroy the whole group. When I say panic, when I say pause before you panic, I mean allow the Holy Spirit to calm your heart and to calm your emotions so that your first action is an act of faith rather than an act of fear. So that the first choice you make is a choice of faith rather than a choice of fear. It is so easy for us to resort to fear. Oh no, it's that. Oh no, I don't know what the doctor's going to find. Oh no, they're wanting more tests. Oh no, I've lost my job. Oh no, my child is drinking. Oh no, this is happening. What am I going to do? Oh my God, what am I going to do? My whole world is falling apart. That's the easy way. That's the way we're drawn. We have to pause and say, wait a minute, this is happening. I feel the emotion of it. I feel the excitement of it. I feel that I've got to do something. I need to take control. I need to get this picture back the way it should be. I feel that panic within me. But rather than lay my hands on it, the first thing I'm going to do is get down on my knees and say, God, have mercy on me. Give me the wisdom that I need, Holy Spirit. Touch my son. Touch my husband. Touch my daughter. Oh God, help us through this. Be with us through this. Guide us through this. Show us your might and show us your power as you walk with us. We have to pause before we panic. Psalm 57, beginning in verse 4, David writes these words, I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. But now he decides to pause. And this is what he says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And then he looks back at his situation again, and he says, they spread a net for my feet. I am bowed down in distress with the pit they have dug in my path, but they will fall into it themselves. And then he pauses again, and he says, my heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. He looks at the situation. He says, I've got two choices. I can panic or I can pause. I can throw up my hands or I can get down on my knees. I can say this is too big for me or I can say this is not too big for God. I can say I'm all alone and nobody knows what I'm going through, or I can say God is my shield and at my right hand. I have to pause because everything within you, everything within me is wanting us to panic. So we have to pause before we panic. David surveyed his situation. Twice he described his situation, and then twice he paused and spoke about God. Secondly, we have to hear the word before and after you hear the word. You have to hear the word before and after you hear the word. You have to hear the word, capital W, the word of God, before and after you hear the word, little w, of men. I have to ground myself in God's word. I have to be in God's word. I have to put God's word in me before and after I hear the situation. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet is a light unto my pathway. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. My son, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Open your ears to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. And this is why. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The Amplified Version says, they're life to those who find them and health and healing to all their flesh. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Thy word, the psalmist said, have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against Thee. If you don't realize it yet, you will soon. We need the Word of God in our heart and in our spirit and in our mind and our emotions now more than ever. We need to be people of the Word, students of the Word. We need to see, God, what are You saying? God, what's Your Word? God, what do You have for me this day? And it prepares our hearts for when we begin to hear the words of men. I want to be very non-political when I say this. But if you have more confidence in Dr. Fauci than you do in the Word of God, you have spent too much time in front of the television and not enough time in the Bible. And I'm not being critical. I don't want you to think, well, he's this or that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we talk more about Dr. Fauci than we do about Jesus. It's sad. And I'm not even talking about the virus. Let's move beyond the virus. Let's just talk about life in general, where we are right now. Human nature is always drawn to the bad. It's just the way it is. And that's why the news caters to that. You don't hear the news starting off with, hey, we got some great news today. That's not what we're drawn to. You don't see Jim Cantore coming on the news and saying, it's a beautiful day in Panama City Beach today. I mean, goodness alive, you see Jim Cantore getting out of the car, you say, honey, bar the house, we're getting out of town. It's what they cater to. They cater to that nature within us. And we have to be people of the Word. I'm not saying we need to shut out what Dr. Fauci is saying or shut out what this one is saying or not pay attention to the Weather Channel. But I'm saying we've got to be people of the Word, that everything we hear, we judge it by the Word of God. Not judge the Bible by the Word of man. Well, last thing, trust the shield. Let the Holy Spirit stretch the shield. Keep it supple. Keep it anointed. Let the Word be in you before and after you hear the Word. And then thirdly, trust your shield. Whatever you're in right now, whatever you're facing right now, whatever situation you're facing right now that seems to be overwhelming, let me tell you, what you already know, this is not your first battle. And it will not be your last battle. This is the battle you're currently in. This is the fight you are currently in. But it will not be the last one, nor is it the first one. After you get through this one, after we walk through this one, there'll be another one right on down the road. And what we have to realize is what I'm facing right now, what I'm going through right now, is preparing me for what's laying down the road. Is preparing me for what's ahead. When David is brought in before King Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 17, you know the story. This is the story of David and Goliath. And they bring David into King Saul because David has been asking people, what happens to the guy who kills this giant? So they bring David to Saul, and Saul is looking at this teenage kid, a sheep herder. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And Saul replied, so here we go. Have the word in you before and after you hear the word. And here we're seeing it right here. David said, "I'll go fight this giant. Don't worry about it." And Saul said to him, here's the word, the little w, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a lad, and he's been a warrior from his youth." And now David goes back to the word, big W. David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair." That's what happened to mine. "Struck it and killed it." And then David said this, "Your servant has killed the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." David said to him, Saul, this isn't the first battle I've been in. I've fought battles you don't know anything about. And the God who was with me when I faced the bear, and the God who was with me when I faced the lion, will be with me when I face the Philistine. What you feel right now, what's going on in your life right now, this giant that you're facing in your life, I don't think I'm going to make it through this. I don't know how to get around this. I don't know how a door is going to open for me. This is too much. This giant you're facing right now, as you're facing that situation, do what David did. Remember that there was a bear in the past that you faced and God brought you through. There was a lion that you faced in the past and God brought you through. And God's power is not diminished. And God's favor on you has not changed. And God's ability has not diminished. The lion and the bear were simply to prepare you for the giant you're facing today. When you hear those flying arrows, when you see those flaming missiles, remember, the Lord is my shield and my sure reward. When it seems like all hell is breaking loose around you, and it's like one thing after another, after another, after another, remember, God is still God. And God is for us. And the scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And if the Lord be on my side, whom shall I fear? And of whom shall I be afraid? Mike Conley, you may have seen that the last few weeks, he's been bringing me 3 or 4 books every week. And they're all history books, which I'm a history buff. One of the books he brought me is about Thomas J. Jackson, who earned the moniker of Stonewall at the First Battle of Bull Run, or also known as Manassas. It was in July of 1861 when he rushed his troops forward to close a gap in the line against a determined Union attack. And Jackson is on his horse and he's directing the battle and bullets are flying by him. And one of his generals, observing Jackson, yells out to his men who are retreating, and he says to them, "Look, men, there is Jackson standing like a stone wall." That comment spawned Jackson's nickname, and from then on, and even today, he is known as Stonewall Jackson. We're in a battle. There's a fight that's going on, and the enemy is firing flaming arrows one after another. And it's very exhausting, and it's very tiring. And we hear the news, or we get a phone call, or we get a text, or someone sends us an email about this person, about that situation, about this disaster, about this pain, about this thing, about that thing. It's very easy for us to just want to cower down and just say, "I give up. I'm exhausted by this." Now's the time for us to be anointing that shield, pouring the oil on that shield, pouring the word on that shield, pouring prayer on that shield, pouring faith on that shield, so that every time a missile, we hear that whoosh, whoosh, whoosh of another flaming arrow, we can say, my confidence and my trust and my hope and my faith is in God. Father, we thank you that you did not leave us defenseless. You did not leave us, Lord, exposed. You did not leave us without the proper equipment. You gave us the shield of faith. And you said through Paul that it won't just quench 10 flaming arrows. It won't just quench 20. But he said it will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Lord, today, we join with the disciples who said to you, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, may we keep this shield of faith anointed. May we keep it supple. May we keep it, Lord, with fresh oil. May we keep it, Lord, with a fresh anointing. May we every day pull out that shield of faith and figuratively lay hands on it and speak the word of God over it and pray over it and say, God is for me. God is with me. God's never failed me. God will never turn his back on me. No matter what I face today, my trust, my hope, my confidence is in God. My faith is in God. I pray faith over my children. I pray faith over my marriage. I pray faith over my finances. I will not fail. I will go forward. I will not die, but I will live and proclaim the goodness of God. Because if God is for me, who can be against me? Lord, may we pull that shield of faith out and put it into use. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Take out your hymnal, turn the page.